Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. Tribes have until December 30th to spend coronavirus aid distributed by the federal government. The $8 billion sent to tribes were meant to address issues created by the coronavirus pandemic. Funds were delayed to tribes, which complicated things, including getting much-needed aid to our tribal nations. Coming up, we'll get an update on where things stand from different tribes. Stay tuned. We go live right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The head of Canada's largest Indigenous organization, Perry Bellegarde, says he will not seek re-election. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau paid tribute to Bellegarde for his leadership over the past 6 years.
Perry Bellegarde was first elected as National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations in 2014. On Monday, he tweeted that he spent the past 6 years bringing Indigenous issues before Canadians, adding that issues and concerns that used to be talked about around the kitchen table are now in the media every day and at the center of public debate. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau praised Bellegarde as a tireless leader and advocate for First Nations.
And I know I am joined by people across the country in recognizing and celebrating his years of devoted service to First Nations communities. We lift you up, Perry. We will continue to work with the National Chief to advance the priorities identified by First Nations, including keeping First Nations communities safe from this pandemic.
Since 2014, Bellegarde says he's successfully advocated for laws protecting Indigenous children and languages, and a new law to implement the UN Declaration on Indigenous Rights. His work has also helped secure billions of dollars in new funding for Native people. The National Chief of the AFN is elected every 3 years. The organization represents more than 600 First Nations across Canada. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The Wisconsin Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force has started its work. The group was formed in July after legislation to create the task force failed. Katie Thorson has more.
The Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force is made up of more than 30 people from around the state. They include the state attorney general, lieutenant governor, lawmakers, abuse victim advocates, law enforcement officers, and community leaders, an overwhelming majority of which are Native American women. Many have been impacted on a personal level.
And I'm here for all of my relatives, but specifically for my grandmother, my mother, my sisters, my nieces, all who are survivors.
My cousin is Ray Elaine Turtelot, and she went missing and was murdered in October of 1986.
One of my classmates that I went to mission school with here in Odena, she went to go visit a relative in Stevens Point for the summer, and she was a babysitting there, and she was abducted there, and she was murdered.
The goal of the task force is not only bringing awareness to this issue, but to find solutions to prevent the violence. Kristen Welch is the lead organizer.
The problem of MMAW, as many of you had said in your introductions, is really complex. It's layered. It's a huge problem. But a strategic way we can begin to create solutions is really exploring relationships between the systems and examining the issues within key components of MMIW.
Subcommittees were created to focus on different issues. Those subcommittees will report to the task force on their findings throughout the year. I'm Katie Thorson.
The Yurok Tribal Council in California voted this week to close its reservation. The closure will be in effect for at least 3 weeks due to the region seeing an increase of COVID-19 cases. According to the tribe, there have been 15 COVID-19 cases on the reservation to date. Tribal officials say they're taking precautions to protect elders, those with pre-existing health conditions, and the entire community. The reservation will reopen when there's a decline in infection rates. Some tribal leaders are scheduled to testify virtually Wednesday before the U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. The committee is holding a hearing on tribal self-governance and cultural sovereignty. Senate buildings are closed to the public. The hearing will be streamed online. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the SAMHSA-sponsored Opioid Response Network, working across the nation to address the opioid crisis in tribal communities. Information and support at aaip.org. Support by BNSF Railway, proudly supporting the nation's economy by moving the goods that feed, supply, and power communities across the country. More at bnsf.com/tribal relations.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you live from my homelands of Shirhutui via Skype. When the federal government enacted a package of funds in March to offset the economic devastation caused by the pandemic, they set the end of the year as the deadline for spending the money. Now, as the deadline nears, many of the tribes and other recipients of that money are finding it difficult to allocate the funds in time. The problem is not because there's no need. It's because the money has a lot of strings attached and every dollar has to be accounted for. And, at least for tribes, there was a delay in the distribution of the money by 2 months due to the Treasury Department. Lawsuits on who the money should go to also compounded things. Today, we'll get perspective from some tribal leaders about how the federal emergency aid is helping, and also some hang-ups to getting the money to the people who need it most. We'll also hear from one member of Congress about the efforts to extend the deadline. And we'd like to hear from you, too. Is federal money helping you and your tribe get by? Any concerns on what will happen once the funds are used up? Call us and share. The number to join us is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And today we are going to start off in Wellpennant, Washington. Joining us today is the chairwoman of the Spokane Tribe of Indians, Carol Evans. My pleasure to have her here. Chairwoman Evans, welcome to Native America Calling.
Hello, my friends and relatives. It's an honor to be on your show today.
We're definitely looking forward to hearing how this is helping your tribe and maybe some of the hangups that are going on. Also here, too, with us out of Wellpennant, Washington, is Ted Wright. He is the executive director of the Spokane Tribe of Indians, and Ted is Tlingit. Our pleasure to have him here as well. Ted, welcome.
Thank you very much, Tara. Appreciate having an opportunity to talk about this important issue.
Indeed. And so, Chairwoman Evans, please start us off. Tell us how things are going there with the Spokane Tribe and how the tribe has been using CARES Act money.
Well, for the Spokane Tribe, the pandemic has impacted the tribe. In the beginning, we did a complete shutdown, and that helped us with few cases. But with the most recent outbreak, we have had an uptick in cases. So the tribe has actually went back in our COVID requirements and have a stay-at-home order in place right now, and many of our employees are working, teleworking, and our school is actually doing distance learning. So we are impacted by the pandemic, and the U.S. Treasury CARES Act funding has helped us greatly. And as you stated in your introduction, the tribes did not receive the CARES funding write-off. We didn't receive the funds until mid-May, and but soon as we received them, we developed necessary budgets in order to spend this money to help our tribal citizens with the impacts of the pandemic. Some of the things we've done, of course, is work with the developing quarantine facilities, helping elders. One of the big problems we have is lack of broadband. So we are installing four towers, telecom towers. We have done a lot of personal protective equipment. We've done some upgrades to buildings for meat processing and fisheries so that we can provide food to members that are in need. We've increased mental health services for individuals impacted by the virus, paying for some of our legal costs in developing the plans, signage, and just a lot of different things that have been really helpful to get our members through this pandemic.
And Chairwoman, what about the delay in funds coming to tribes? Did that provide a glitch? How have you gotten over it, if so?
I think it did provide a glitch because the money wasn't available right away. So individuals that maybe were laid off or did not have income or anything, that impacted them. But once the funds were received, we could develop the programs. But what was really unclear in the beginning was how the funds could be spent. It seems like the guidance was very slow, so the tribes had to be careful in developing their policies and procedures on how they would help the members. And so that was that did cause some delay in setting up programs that that now we have in place, and we're able to assist members who are in quarantine. But originally it was very difficult because we were developing policy and procedure, and the funds came late.
And Chairwoman, was there someone on the other end when you did have questions? If so, who and what was said?
So they had actually what they called question and answer sessions sponsored by the government. So our legal staff and our finance staff participated in those, and then they would develop the policies and procedures for all of the various programs that we did develop to use these funds for, to make sure that we were in compliance with those requirements, and the requirements change through time. So that was also a difficult thing to deal with.
And so, Chairwoman, as we get close to the stated deadline, what are your thoughts? How will things go? What do you think about this deadline?
Well, I think the deadline needs to be extended, and actually the Spokane Tribe did write a letter to our congressional leaders asking them to support Senator Lisa Mikhailski and Maggie Hassan's S-4898 legislation to extend, and the Tribe would like to see the deadline extended to at least to September 30th of 2021. Mainly the reason it needs to be extended is because this pandemic isn't over. We're still being impacted. Every day we have positive tests. Every day we have more people going into quarantine. And that's not going to stop at December 31st. We will need to continue to assist people after December 30th. And so it's really important that this deadline get extended. And just to let you know, this does not impact just tribes. It impacts counties, cities, and state governments also, because they've received separate Treasury CARES funding, and they're impacted by these deadlines also. So it has a major impact on the Native Americans of the United States, plus the U.S. citizens. It's just a tremendous impact if this deadline isn't extended.
Well, thank you for giving us a view into what your tribe is facing. What about your own tribe when it comes to CARES Act funding? You can share your thoughts with us today. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and go to our phone lines. On the line right now is Stan Kelly, a tribal leader. Stan, thank you for giving us a ring. Please feel free to further introduce yourself.
Yes, so I represent the village of Napamit in western Alaska. It's a small tribe. We are a very remote location on the Kuskokwim River. Our main hubs in the area are the city of Aniak, downriver, a few villages, and then the main village of, or city of Bethel, closer to the coast. We certainly have experienced challenges as a small tribe, trying to abide by U.S. Treasury guidelines. But we are trying to do our best to keep communication up with our tribal members and at the same time assist them with things such as heating costs, groceries, and then we created a policy guideline and an application for assistance for various items. So we're doing the best we can, and it seemed like as a small tribe without a lot of, you know, overhead staff to administer the funds, we kind of learn as we go on this, and it's been a challenge to get the funds to our tribal members in a speedy manner. But we are in the process currently reviewing applications and providing assistance, but it's been a slow process. And we actually did send out a formalized letter to both of the senators for the state of Alaska and the congressman. And the congressman's office at least responded, acknowledging they received it. I think even Murkowski might have sent a general response. So we're glad that that information got to them. But yeah, we're interested. We would like to see it extended and hope that that's a possibility.
And Stan, what would be a more realistic timeline?
Well, I would, now that we kind of have the experience under our belt the last few months and everyone's getting used to the frequently asked questions and the guidelines, I think at least 3 months is reasonable. So I would hope through the end of March. Even beyond could be helpful, but at least 3 months gives us more time.
All right. Well, Stan, thank you for giving us a ring. These phone lines are open for you, too, if you'd like to join us. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And we are hearing from different tribal nations about the CARES Act funding and how things have gone. How easy or hard has it been to navigate with these funds? Maybe you're a tribal citizen and you have received some of them in some form. If you'd like to share how they've helped you out during the pandemic, you can call us 1-800-996-2848. Are there new programs because of it? And what about when the money runs out? Are you concerned? 1-800-996-2848 is
Many colleges started in-person classes in the spring, only to switch to online instruction. Now most Native students are forced to study from home. We'll discuss the effects of the pandemic on Native student dropout rates and the effectiveness of learning in online classes. That's on the next Native America Calling.
Support by Roswell Park, who know tribal communities face persistent challenges in health equity, such as cancer and higher death rates. The Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center is dedicated to advancing cancer research that will lead to translatable science, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous populations worldwide. Are you at high risk for cancer? A no-charge online assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Mesita Pueblo, and we are talking about coronavirus funding today. Tribes have until the end of the month to spend funds from the federal government. Have you received help from your tribe through the pandemic because of these funds? Call us and share your experience. The number to join us is 1-800-996-2848. I want to go back to the phone lines. On the line with us today is Mark Springer. And Mark, my pleasure to have you here, and please feel free to further introduce yourself. And what are your thoughts on CARES Act funding?
Yeah, hi, good morning. Waka Winga, Mark Springer. I'm the tribal administrator at Ursagamute Native Council here in Bethel, Alaska. And we have about 3,200 members around the country, and we received a fairly substantial amount in our allocation. And just a really quick, funny story. I was my desk. We hadn't gotten the money yet. My chief accountant came to the door of my office. He had a piece of paper in one hand, and he was clutching his chest with the other, and that was our deposit advice from the Department of the Treasury. It's been a challenge to allocate these resources, you know, fairly to all our tribal members, but I think we've been pretty successful, and we're actually within striking distance of having it all spent by the end of the month, which is, you know, it's gratifying. But then, you know, what are we gonna be able to do afterwards? So it would be nice if Congress appropriated some more money. But we've been helping our members with rental assistance, mortgage assistance, energy costs, utility costs, and again, this is here in Bethel and around the country. We've also laid in quite a stock of PPE, masks, and hand sanitizer. We have obtained subsistence equipment, both for distribution to our members and for use in-house. We have a fairly active subsistence support program in the fall and the winter and the summer, too, fishing and moose hunting. We put more staff on to carry out this project, and they've been doing a heck of a job. Basically, all I do is sit and sign check requests and checks, which is what I'm doing right now. But I really want to, you know, express appreciation to Congress and to the administration for providing these important funds to Indian country, because I know that a lot of tribes have been very, very hard hit by COVID-19. And our council expressed the opinion immediately that all of our members are affected by COVID-19, which is very true. It's just, you know, it has saved quite a few of our members from eviction. It saved them from having utilities cut off. It has really, really helped them in a period in an unprecedented period of history. And I'm just really, really proud and honored. And all the staff here are proud and honored to be able to help carry this out.
Well, Mark, we appreciate you checking in. And any thoughts about how things did kick off? And we know that there were lawsuits connected to who should receive the funding, questions about tribes in Alaska or entities in Alaska receiving funds. Any thoughts about some of the muddiness of how this all started and how things ended up?
I don't want to go into a whole lot on that because it's sort of a sensitive issue up here in Alaska. Different tribes have different views on that lawsuit. It didn't particularly affect our funding, and I don't know how much it affected folks. I think the bigger issue is some tribes, especially down in Lower 48, that got some pretty small amounts, and some got, you know, little to nothing, which I think is a real big tragedy. In general, up here in Alaska, I think our tribes did pretty well in the allocations. And just really quickly, you know, it was kind of interesting that the allocation of the funds wasn't based on enrollment. It was based apparently on the Indian Housing Block Grant censuses. So I think that's kind of intriguing that was the formula the Treasury actually used to determine how much money to kick out. But you know, it was a little bit of a slow start. But the Department of the Treasury I think made a pretty good effort in getting the guidance out there. They still don't call it rules. They still don't call it regulations. It's guidance, and hopefully, once we all get audited next year, we will all come out unscathed.
Well, I really appreciate you checking in, and this space truly is to find out how the CARES Act funding is helping our tribes. If there's anything you'd like to share, give us a call. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Thanks again for joining us today. There, Mark, out of Alaska. And right now, we're going to go ahead and go to another voice. Joining us today is Jonathan Nez. He is the president of the Navajo Nation. Our pleasure to have him here, President Nez. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Tara. Thank you for having us. And we're excited about the transition that's happening in Washington, D.C. So thank you.
there's a lot of transition going on. And President Nez, when it comes to the CARES Act funding, we checked in with your nation early on about this. And what are your thoughts on where we currently stand and also getting closer to the proposed deadline to be able to spend the money? Any thoughts?
Right. Well, maybe it was mentioned earlier, but there is a proposition to extend that deadline before Congress right now. I know that they need to pass some budgets, and maybe this CARES Act extension timeline could also be included in those budgets. But, you know, we'll soon see, maybe this week or the next week. But right now, the CARES Act funding deadline is December 30th, and the Navajo Nation is moving to close out on that deadline. So we put some money aside for infrastructure development, and you know, the Navajo Nation, our cabinet, our executive directors, and our staff worked really almost around the clock to get some of these projects done, like water line extensions, electric line extensions, bathroom additions, cisterns, and also leach fields, and also broadband telecommunication towers, and many more. But just because of the tight deadline, we weren't able to complete all the projects that were allocated to our programs. But I think over about 70% of what was allocated for projects were complete. So the remaining 30% will go into a pot, which is the Hardship Assistance Fund, which will go directly for relief to our Navajo Nation citizens that are in need right now. So that's kind of the process that we're doing that right now. And you know, a lot of this last part of it, the hardship assistance funds, will be administered by the Navajo Nation Office of the Comptroller. So I think on the executive branch side, our programs, we did our very best, over 70% of those dollars to do projects, and they're complete. So the remaining amount now goes into the hardship, which will be administered by the Office of the Comptroller and their contractor, Baker Tilly.
And is there any updates on when those funds will be dispersed?
Well, I know that there was a press release that came out of the Office of the Comptroller, and they're looking at early January, I believe. But those encumbrances should almost be complete. It's just being checks being issued out is, I think, what they're waiting for, and to verify people who may have had some issues with the portal, or just to clarify some items or their application. So it's really on the Office of the Comptroller to move forward on the remaining amount of the CARES Act here for Navajo Nation.
Thank you. And President Nez, you mentioned infrastructure in some of the projects. What about water? We know often water is an issue in a lot of our tribal nations. Any thoughts on how you're using some of those funds to help water conditions or getting water to people?
Right. I mean, we put $130 million for water lines. It was tough, you know. We had to deal with the regulations, the federal policies that we have to go through, like right-of-ways and environmental clearances. And so some of those projects weren't able to be completed. But those that were completed, I saw firsthand, you know, family members happy that they finally received water to their homes. And we also have put in place and installed cisterns for the Navajo people so that they can, you know, put into a tank their water so that they can go right into their homes. And so we are happy that many of our people did receive some of that support, and those projects were deemed a priority pursuant to this public health emergency. So it's COVID-19 related because, you know, CDC and public health experts had said, you know, hygiene, personal hygiene is very important. So if you're telling people to wash their hands with soap and water, you know, and people don't have water, then that's going to be a major issue and possibly be a big part of the spread that's happening in Indian country.
And President Nez, when this all began, there was a lot of talk of how the money would be allocated. There were lawsuits. There was also a delay from the Treasury Department in releasing the funds. How has any of that affected the ability to spend the money or get aid to the community? Any thoughts, update on that?
Yeah, I mean, this was a tight deadline, Tara. And we got the monies late because we had to file against the feds. And we finally received it late into the year. And the same deadline was there for everybody, December 30th of 2020. And, you know, our team here on the Navajo Nation did an outstanding job with the timeline that was in place to get these projects complete. There were some internal deadlines for us here on Navajo, and one of those was that all projects should be completed by November 20th so that the closeout reports can happen and whatever remaining amount would go directly to the Navajo people in relief. But like I said, these projects are permanent projects that will help our citizens well after the COVID-19 crisis and even combat any future virus that may come into our nation.
And President Nez, moving forward, if more money is allocated in the future, any thoughts on what should be allocated, what should be considered, the way things should change, or even who defined or who's included in receiving funds under tribal entities?
Well, I mean, the process that was developed was a good process. I mean, population-based, land-based. Of course, that's the reason why we got a considerable amount of funds through the CARES Act. We're the biggest nation. Right now, I think we can all agree throughout this country that infrastructure improvements are needed. And more so here in Indian country. We need to, of course, we got to fix our roads, our aging bridges, but also to get water infrastructure, electricity, broadband. I mean, right now, broadband is important. If we're telling our students to stay home or our workers to stay home, then we need better broadband and telecommunication throughout this country. So I think that's something that this country can agree on, and we also agree on the Navajo Nation. And that should be a focus as we go into a transition to this new administration. If there is a bill being proposed and infrastructure, of course, healthcare is a need. You know, I mean, we all recognize that the Indian Health Services has been underfunded since its inception. So we need to bulk up our healthcare system in Indian country. So there's a lot of items that have been brought to our attention that need to be changed, especially in terms of infrastructure. And I hope this new administration, you know, we sent a white paper to this current administration about what policies and laws need to be reevaluated, and really didn't go nowhere. But we have submitted that to the transition team. They're looking at it. You know, some of these decisions can be done at the secretary level, you know, bypassing, if you want to call it that, or waiving certain requirements to get projects completed quickly. And I think that's something that we can do now in the interim as this transition is happening, so that if there's another infrastructure package, some of these regulations and policies wouldn't hinder, you know, these projects from getting complete fast. So those are things that we're, you know, bringing to the attention of this new incoming administration.
Well, President Jonathan Ness, thank you for joining us today. And if you'd like to join us too, dial in now, 1-800-996-2848. We're going to go now to Billings, Montana. On the line with us is Gerald Gray. He is the chairman of the Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians. Our pleasure to have him here. Chairman Gray, welcome to Native America Calling.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Chairman Gray, we've heard from several leaders about what this all means, and please give us an update. How are things there going in your own community and being able to use some of these funds to help?
Yeah, so these funds have been a blessing to the Little Shell Tribe because we've only been recognized for 11 months now, federally recognized. So we've been able to use these funds for such things as COVID relief checks to members who've been unemployed or reduced number of hours in their workplace. We've also been able to use these funds for, because we're building from the ground up, we purchased a small clinic in Great Falls. If we were to wait for IHS, that would never be possible in at least 40 years because of the lack of funding that IHS has. And we've also been able to do a lot of things for membership in terms of personal protection items, sanitizer, personal hygiene items, things of that such, which we would have never been able to provide to members without these funds.
And so we're going to learn more about how all of this connects to your nation. But if you'd like to join us, you can give us a call. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And maybe you are just learning about what our Native nations are doing in terms of getting aid to their community through these funds from the CARES Act. If you have any thoughts, go ahead, dial in now. Our phone lines are open. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Go ahead, dial in.
Support by the American Indian Higher Education Consortium, working to ensure tribal colleges and universities are included in our higher education system. Info on distance learning at aihec.org.
Support for this show provided by Canyon Records, producer of R. Carlos Nakai's newest album of Native American flute music, Nocturne. Nocturne is available at Amazon, iTunes, and canyonrecords.com.
Thanks for joining us today here on Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. And if you'd like to join our conversation about federal emergency funding for tribes to help deal with coronavirus, if you have any thoughts, tribal leaders, tribal administrators, go ahead, give us a call. Citizens, we want to hear from you too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Here from Billings, Montana, is Chairman of the Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians, Gerald Gray. Chairman Gray, thank you for being with us. And tell us a little bit more about what this has been like to try and help your community with these funds, also knowing what the deadline is. Give me more details. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, with the deadline, it's been a struggle because the Little Shell Tribe, we don't have a reservation, and our members are scattered throughout the state of Montana and throughout other states. So it's been difficult for us to try to service all members, but we do feel very optimistic that there will be an extension just due to the fact that we feel Congress doesn't want to see this leading to any kind of wasteful spending, which it would if we put a deadline and then also, you know, us not getting the money for 2 months after the fact. So that does, put a hamper on how to spend it. And then, you know, as far as the Treasury and the guidelines went, we felt that goalpost was kind of moving each time. So it was kind of hard to actually dial it in and determine how to spend the funds. But with our legal team, we were able to do so and, provide some much needed things that the Little Shell Tribe would never have had.
And when it comes to the restrictions that are connected to this money, any comment?
Yeah, I think, like I said, the restrictions were kind of moving each month. But as it went down the road, I think they've become a little bit better for us as we, you know, better understood them and were able to work within their guidelines to provide the things that we needed to do to combat this pandemic. We do feel that the extension will happen because, as we see it here in Montana, you know, the vaccines are just going to be coming into the state next week. But we feel that, you know, with the number of vaccines needed, that this pandemic, for at least us here in Montana, will go late May and into June. So we do still need that funding to help our membership out.
And Chairman Gray, seeing that your tribe was granted federal recognition in December 2019, were there any additional issues with being a newly recognized tribe managing this money? Any thoughts there?
You know, there wasn't, because we had a really good legal team that had been guiding us, and, you know, we rely on them quite a bit to help us out with this, and they're pretty well connected in the D.C. area. So we felt it was pretty easy for us anyway.
And so, Chairman, moving forward and the possibility maybe there'll be more funding in the future, how can all this process be made better?
You know, I think, one, if we can get, you know, this money extended so there won't be any wasteful spending, I do think if we can loosen the guidelines a little bit, to provide for us to be able to provide and purchase things that, you know, do more infrastructure needs for our communities, I think that'll help us, and it'll go a long way throughout Indian Country. Because here in Montana, too, if we were looking at doing some infrastructure things, we have winter coming on, and it's really hard to do any construction in December, January, February. So, you know, with anything like that, we'd need those guidelines broadened.
And do you think there should be more consideration for tribes? You know, this is a lot different from a state getting funding or different entities that did get funding under the CARES Act. Do you think there needs to be more consideration of what happens when money is going to tribes running a nation? Go ahead.
Yes, I do. I do think, you know, every tribe is different. Every state is different. And, you know, the way we provide services to our membership is way different than the state of Montana or any other state for that fact. So I do think the consideration needs to be looked at more in depth to widen the scope of how we provide services and what kind of services we can provide to our people.
Thanks for that. I think we also have President Nez still here with us. President Nez, if you have any comment on that, on way things should be considered when money are going to tribes, any thoughts?
Well, of course, thank you again, Tara, and thank you, other tribal leaders that are on the show. You know, in the needs of Indian Country is what we've been fighting for so long, is to fulfill those promises that were made by our ancestors and the founding fathers of this country through those treaties. And if we look at all these agreements that were where both sovereigns signed off on, it's to ensure that there is good education, good health care, and also infrastructure, and many others. And so it's just fulfilling those promises equitably to 574 tribes throughout this country. And, you know, when it came to the first allocation of the CARES Act, you know, we didn't, some of us didn't see that corporation, for-profit corporations, should be a part of the allocation. It should go directly to tribes. And I think the same thing should go directly to tribes if there's a second allocation, rather than waiting for it to get issued out. You know, you had cities, you had towns, you had states who used the CARES Act funds immediately when it was approved. And now, we had to wait until we got our allocation, and that's why it was taking us, and it's becoming a little bit bureaucratic to get these projects done. So like I said earlier, you know, I think equitably, you know, based on population and based on land base, you know, and that's how the states are allocated dollars as well. So thank you, Tara.
Thanks. And got another voice to bring in. Joining us now on the line is Tom O'Halloran. He is a United States Congressman representing Arizona's District 1. Welcome, Representative O'Halloran.
Thank you very much, and glad to be on.
And our pleasure to have you here. And Representative, I understand you've introduced a bill to extend the deadline for spending CARES Act money. Tell us where things stand right now.
Well, we did introduce a bill quite some time ago because I think, as President Nez just mentioned, it has been a problem for not only the Navajo, but other tribes across the country. It's been inequitable. And so we put a bill forward to extend it initially for 2 more years because it takes time to plan these projects. Now we've got a new COVID bill coming up. Hopefully we can get it into there. It should be voted on if it gets through the Senate shortly within the next week and a half. Then we also have put a request in at the Appropriations Committee to try to include it into the continuing resolution or the omnibus bill. And we've had multiple conversations, obviously, with leadership in order to try to get this process addressed, because in fairness, this has just not been timely as far as the tribes getting their money. It hasn't been good for the tribes because of the Alaskan corporations and the lawsuit there that delayed, and there's still money there available for tribes. And as President has clearly indicated, the work that needs to be done on tribal lands across the country is a lot, and the nation needs to live up to its obligations.
And Representative O'Halloran, when it comes to getting an extension, who has the say on if that will happen? And with changing administrations and where things currently stand with the president, any thoughts?
Well, this administration is currently there until January 20th. I don't want to see us continue down this path. First of all, the deadline's December 31st, and so we need to get it done now. The president needs to sign it. And Mr. McConnell over in the Senate needs to address it within his committee system. So I'm hopeful that there will be resolution to this before the end of the year. If not, I'm sure the Biden administration would look at it a different way.
And Representative, any updates on how CARES Act funding has helped other tribes in Arizona?
Well, tremendously, whether it's on the health side, the business side with PPP, or on the infrastructure side. There is an infrastructure bill that includes tribal lands in the Senate right now, but that's going nowhere under the current leadership. The healthcare needs of our citizens are part of the CARES Act too, again. We're trying right now, part of the debate right now is to get inclusion of the ability to get some income in there for people, and rental assistance is in there also.
Well, I appreciate that. Anything else for us, Representative O'Halloran?
Keep faith that we'll get this done. Put it in your prayers, and make sure that you hold the people in government responsible that if they are a hindrance to getting all this done during a time of national emergency.
Thank you for that, and thank you for joining us. Also want to check back in with our crew in Wellpinit, Washington. On the line is Ted Wright. He's the executive director of the Spokane Tribe of Indians. Ted, thank you for being here with us this hour, and you've heard from other tribal leaders as well as representatives in Congress. Any other thoughts about what we need to be thinking about when it comes to these funds, how they've been spent, and the deadline? Oh, looks like he's gone. With that, then, let's just use this last bit of our hour together to check in with the two tribal leaders we do have on the line. I want to go back to Gerald Gray, who is the chairman of the Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians. Gerald, anything you want to share about just updates and how your tribe is doing, or any words to your nation? Anything you want to share?
Oh, yeah. As a tribe, we're slowly building a nation. You know, since we've just been newly federally recognized, it has taken time. And, you know, to our members, I just, you know, wish them well, be safe. You know, we still have a ways to go through this pandemic, and hopefully everyone, you know, can get through it in a safe way.
Thank you for that. And President Nez, any thoughts? I know rates are going up in different places, a lot of concerns there in the Navajo Nation. Anything you want to share? Okay, then I'll take it back to our Chairman Gray. And Chairman Gray, we've done a lot of coverage on what it is our nations are facing, and we know we are moving into another season here. You know, even into our winter solstice time, where a lot of times it begs us to be together for different reasons. And any thoughts of just, you know, how these times are heavy, and words you'd like to say to people who know generally we'd be together right now, but right now we're not? Anything to share?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, these are the times that we spend a lot of time together as Indian people. Whether it be round dances, we missed our powwow this year. We've missed a lot of in-person quarterly meetings with our membership. But, you know, we do, you know, ask them to stay strong and, you know, through this pandemic until, you know, these vaccines are distributed and they're safe, proven safe, and that members can actually get them. And then we're hopefully by this summer, early summer, we're back to some sense of normalcy that all of the Indian country has been accustomed to and used to.
And Chairman Gray, an outlook for 2021, any thoughts?
Oh, actually, we feel very positive about 2021, you know, being a new year with this, hopefully, like I said, this pandemic behind us in the rearview mirror, that we can you know, all go forward with a lot of lessons learned through this past year, for sure. It's been a real eye-opener for all of us, you know, throughout the nation and especially in Indian country.
And we know with this time also comes transitions. Tribal elections have been wrapped up in a lot of places, and we have new people who may be jumping into this position for the first time. Any words to your fellow tribal leaders who are giving this a go around for the first time, or just words of encouragement for the new administrations?
Yeah, it's a good point. I actually saw a transition of a good friend of mine from the Crow Nation leadership to another leader. I wish them all well. You know, be steadfast in this. We still have a ways to go to get out of this, this situation that we're all in.
Well, I appreciate you being here with us, and good thoughts to you as you enter into more time there, leading up your tribal nation, and to everybody who is tuned in today. We know that there is a lot to consider. And when we think of how our tribal nations are being run, it is a pleasure and honor to have some of the leaders spend time with us today here on the program. If you're a tribal leader and you'd like to connect with us and share a little bit of how you fared in 2020 or different things connected to the CARES Act, you can reach out to us. You can always find us comments@nativeamericacalling.com. That's going to wrap it up for our program today. Thank you for sharing your day with us. We hope you'll do it again tomorrow. When we sign on, we're going to be checking in with students and get an update on the pandemic and the college school year. Thanks to everybody we heard from, Chairman Gerald Gray, President Jonathan Nez, Congressman Tom O'Halloran, and Ted Wright. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. More information about our program can be found online, NativeAmericaCalling.com. Thanks again, and we'll meet you here tomorrow.
Ah, has the whole halt. Luan quittis put ems hul halt sewent as to melis luhul such mariems ma me is. Nakats me stamp lu such mariems ma me is mxchen sheetens axin quetten and fluach mariemisten. Chulkul tausen fluas kelly such mariem yet sacham hul necht semi. Chahuiment healthcare.gov uhuach kulkul tausen 1-800-318-2596. Yes, ma me, 10 Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.